You know, there are a lot of advantages to being short. Okay, just kidding, there's not. There are a few advantages. I've never had to worry about banging my head on a door frame. I've really never had to worry about banging my head on anything, for that matter. But when we flew to Honduras, I didn't have to worry about having enough leg room. You know, I could stretch my legs out and do whatever I wanted to do. You know, but there are some disadvantages to being short. One of those is being able to see. I went to a Bon Jovi concert a couple of years ago in Gulf Shores. It was on the beach, and there were thousands of people there. And wouldn't you know it, I stand behind somebody that's about 6'5", and so you spend your whole time looking around them. In fact, some of you have probably for years had neck problems from church because you've been looking around taller people. Some of you may have even forgot what David looked like. It's been so long since you've seen him in the pulpit. You just know the back of the person's head that sits in front of you. Some of you have no trouble with that. You're like, what is he even talking about? Well, it's probably the person behind you that can understand that. You know, even in sports, there were some disadvantages to being short because coaches love the big kids. Man, when there's a new kid that comes on campus and he's huge, you're like, oh, we got to get that kid signed up. But the little short kid walks on campus and, you know, good luck, right? You know, I played basketball, and in ninth grade, my coach told me, he said, Eric, you know what? You may be short, but you're slow. And so it just never really worked out for me. And so that's why God called me into the ministry instead of into the NBA. Well, when I read the story in Luke chapter 19 about a short man named Zacchaeus, I can totally understand and feel his pain of why in the world he would run and jump up into a tree to see somebody. Let's read the story. Flip over there in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And we're going to read the first couple of verses real quick. It says in verse 1 that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now let's talk a minute about who Zacchaeus is. It says, first off, that he's a chief tax collector. Now, during this time in which Zacchaeus and Jesus lived, a tax collector was a person who agreed to work for the Romans. Zacchaeus was born Jewish, but he had agreed to work for the Romans and collected taxes from fellow Jews in order to pay for the occupying Roman soldiers. So as you would imagine, we already hate paying taxes, right? But could you imagine paying taxes for people to stay in your land that you don't want there in the first place? And so Zacchaeus was not a very well-loved person, as you can imagine. But not only that, he's a chief tax collector, meaning he's running a pyramid scheme here. He's in charge, and he's got about 6 or 7 other tax collectors that work for him that are bringing him money and are taxing everybody else. And the way that it worked was that you would have to pay your taxes. There was a guaranteed flat rate tax. But as a tax collector, I could collect anything above that I wanted to. And anything above the flat rate was profit. So as you can imagine, being a tax collector, you could make a pretty good amount of money. So Zacchaeus was a person who had a lot of cash, but he also had a lot of enemies. Then it says that he sought to see who Jesus was. Now everybody was talking about Jesus, especially at this point in Jesus' ministry. And word comes that Jesus is coming into Jericho, and people start going crazy. And so they start lining the streets to see Jesus just come walking through. And Zacchaeus, obviously being a short person, is having a hard time seeing over the crowd. But not only that, think about some of the people who are now following Jesus, who everybody else knew about. One of those was one of Jesus' closest disciples who would become an apostle named Matthew. Do you remember what Matthew's job was before he forsook all and followed Jesus? He was a tax collector. I don't know if these two had ever had run-ins or, you know, attended tax collector business seminars together, anything like that, but I would venture to guess that they at least knew one another. And so maybe Zacchaeus is looking for an opportunity to follow Jesus. Maybe he's just wondering, what's all the talk about this Jesus who spends so much time with people, well, frankly, like Zacchaeus, people who aren't well-loved like everybody else. And so he runs and he climbs up in a sycamore tree because he can't see Jesus coming by because Not only was he short in stature, but maybe some of those who knew him well would say he was also short in integrity and short in loyalty. And climbing up in this tree, here's what I want to focus on this morning. He goes out on a limb in more than one way just to see who Jesus is. Well, Luke continues telling us about this story in verse 5. It says, "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He's gone to be the guest of a sinner.'" Isn't that interesting? All of the sinners standing around are like, "Look, Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' house, the house of a sinner." I mean, even the harlots are like, "Can you believe he's going to Zacchaeus' house?" That's basically what's going on here. Everybody, even the wicked people are saying, "Man, I can't believe that." And so Zacchaeus stands up and he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And so Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." You know, what I find really fascinating about this story, well, there's a lot that I find fascinating, but what I find probably the most fascinating is that here comes Jesus walking into Jericho, and he stops under a tree, and he looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus." He didn't say, "Hey, dude." He didn't say, "Little man in the tree." He didn't even use what I use when I can't remember somebody else's name and I say, "Buddy." He didn't even say, "Hey, buddy," which, by the way, if I call you buddy, you'll know now that I've probably forgotten your name, but that's okay. Just go along with me. But he says, "Zacchaeus." Jesus doesn't need name tags. He doesn't have to look at you and say, "What's your name?" He never did that. He always called people by their names when he had never met them before. I love that. That Jesus knows my name. But not only that, look at how much attention Jesus gives to Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector. Think about all the prominent people who had been in this area at the time. Those who had run the temple, and those, I have just totally lost the word, that comes not the temple, but the local version, whatever they called that. Maybe you remember, if not, whatever. But there were so many prominent people who would have been around, and he comes and he walks under a tree and sees this little man standing in it and takes time to stop and talk to him. But not only that, he invites himself over. Isn't that awesome? I've tried that a few times and it never works. Doesn't work out that well. "Hey, I'm coming to eat lunch at your house today." And, "What? Hey, you're buying me lunch today." It's never gone well. But it went well for Jesus. And Zacchaeus came down gladly. He was so excited, which, by the way, if you want to take me to Outback today, I will gladly follow you. You know, and it's just one of those things that it's such an awesome story to see Zacchaeus' excitement over how much time and attention Jesus is paying to him. Because if you asked him before this moment, "Would Jesus ever focus on you? Would Jesus ever stop and talk to you?" He probably said, "No. Why would he talk to me? I'm a tax collector." Because that's probably one of the nicer terms Zacchaeus had been called in his day. And so Jesus invites him to come down, and Zacchaeus has this amazing immediate change in meeting Jesus when he says, "Look, Lord." He didn't call him teacher, he didn't call him rabbi, he called him Lord. He said, "I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. I give." Do you notice the change in his tone? Where before he would have come up to you and he would have taken from you, now he's giving. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. And then one of the last things that Jesus says I find so powerful, when he says, "He is a son of Abraham." I wonder what Zacchaeus' parents thought of him. Come on, parents, would you really be proud of your children if they became a traitor to your country? I mean, I'm not saying you wouldn't love them, but would you be standing in Walmart and say, "You know what? My son's a tax collector. He does pretty well." I doubt it. I don't know any parents that raise their children to cheat people. And so I wonder how long it had been since Zacchaeus had been called a kind name. I wonder how long it had been since Zacchaeus had heard that term, son. Not only son, but son of Abraham. You're a Jew. You're just as much a Jew as everybody else. Even though you've been called traitor, even though you've been called much worse names that we could never mention, you're a son. And then Jesus says something really cool. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, in the church many years ago, we used to refer to people as lost when they were outside of Christ. But at some point, somebody said, you know what, that's really kind of an insensitive term. You know, lost people don't want to know they're lost. And so in the Christian world, we changed the term and we called people seekers. They're seeking out God. But that's not what Jesus says. That's not the term that the Bible uses for people who are outside of Christ. And the reason why is because lost people aren't the one doing the seeking, at least not in this story. Yeah, Zacchaeus had climbed up into a tree to see Jesus, but you remember what it said? Jesus came into Jericho and then he stopped right under that tree. It says when he came to the spot. What spot? There wasn't some X on the ground marking a treasure. It was a spot right under the tree where the man stood hanging in a tree that he came to Jericho to see. Jesus was seeking out Zacchaeus because he was lost. He had no direction in his life. Well, there's a lot of powerful applications that we can make from this story. And I want to give you three key takeaways this morning, if we have time. The first one is simply this. We all fall short and need Jesus. You see, that's what Paul said in Romans 3, verse 23. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All excludes nobody. There's something for you to take home and try and figure that one out. That means every one of us who understands right from wrong, we've all made bad decisions. We have all fallen short. It doesn't matter how tall you are in stature. We've all fallen short. We've all not measured up to the perfection that is found in Christ. We've all sinned. And sometimes we struggle to believe that we've fallen short. It's like the guy who went to the doctor and the nurse was examining him and she said, "Well, how much do you weigh?" He said, "Oh, about 160. She put him on the scale. She said, "No, you're 186. She said, "Okay, how tall are you?" He said, about 5'11". And she measured him. She said, "No, you're 5'8". Then she asked him, she said, "Well, what's your normal blood pressure?" He said, "How am I supposed to know? I came in here tall and slender. Now you're telling me I'm short and fat." You know, sometimes we have a hard time seeing our own shortness in the sight of God. And there's many reasons why, but one of the greatest reasons is because everywhere we look, we can find a Zacchaeus. I can always find somebody who's worse than me, somebody who sins more than me, somebody who suffered greater consequences than me. I can look around and I can make myself look pretty tall, but that's because I'm using the wrong standard. Because when I put myself up against Jesus Christ, against the standard of God's Word, man, I fall short every time. Well, here's the good news. Jesus is seeking each of us. And it is impossible for you to sin yourself beyond the grace of God. I'm going to say that one again because I believe that one needs an amen, church. It is impossible for you to sin yourself beyond the grace of God. I'm going to say it again. I want an amen. It is impossible for you to sin yourself beyond the grace of God. And the church says, amen. Praise be to God for that. And there's a second key takeaway, and that is not only that Jesus is searching for us, but when we are found by Jesus, we find a new identity in Him. Because for many of us, we have looked outward too long to find our identity. We focus so much on what other people think about us, and that's become our identity. And that's something that not only teenagers struggle with, but even adults, we struggle with that more than we probably realize. That we focus so much on what other people think about us, instead of looking vertical to find out what God thinks about us. And when you listen to lies over and over again, eventually they become truth in your own life. And so if you've been told you weren't good enough, you weren't pretty enough, you weren't smart enough, you weren't tall enough, eventually you start to believe it, don't you? But when we look to Jesus Christ, when we look to God for our identity, His message is totally different for us. And that's why He would tell us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new person. For many of us, when we were baptized into Christ, we thought that we just sort of stayed the same person, just had our sins washed away. But that's not what the Bible teaches. When you're baptized into Christ, you became a new person. Paul goes on to say at the end of that verse, the old life is gone and the new life has begun. And he would echo it in Romans 6 and verse 4 when he says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in a newness of life. A new person. And we can see that in Zacchaeus, that when he meets Jesus, he's not the same person anymore. And there's evidence of that, and here's the third key takeaway. Not only that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that we can find new identity in Him, but the evidence of our salvation is that we go from taker to giver. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. He experiences Jesus' love and attention, and Jesus' message to him that you are valuable, you are worthy, you are lovable. And all of a sudden he says, look, Lord, I give. I don't take anymore, I give. I just want to give back to other people. Because a new person in Christ, a saved person, realizes that life is no longer about what I can get, but about whose life I can bless. And that's why Zacchaeus would give away half of his goods to the poor. And it's a message to us to bless the lives of other people in a physical way. That it's my responsibility, not obligation, but responsibility and privilege, that now I can bless the life of someone else because of so much God has given me. It's this idea that it flows from this deep sense of thanksgiving. I can't believe God would pour out His love on me like this. I can't believe God would bless me so tremendously that He would love me so much and pour so much time and attention to me. And now I just want to bless someone else's life because it's not about what I can get, but about whose life I can bless. But it's not just blessing the lives of others physically, but also blessing their lives spiritually. Because there's a forgotten character in this story. You've got Zacchaeus, you've got Jesus, and you've got the crowd, but there's an overlooked character in this story. And that's the part that the tree plays. Because if it wasn't for that sycamore tree, Zacchaeus wouldn't have been able to see Jesus. And you and I can play that part as a sycamore tree. That we can bless the lives of other people spiritually simply by lifting them up so that they can see Jesus who's searching for them. There's a number of ways you can do that. Here's a few for you this morning. You can be a sycamore tree by inviting someone to church. You can be a sycamore tree by praying with someone who's going through a difficult time. You can be a sycamore tree by studying the Bible with someone. You can be a sycamore tree by through your generosity, by blessing them in the name of Jesus. Those are just a few of the ways, but there are so many more ways that we can lift other people up and bless them spiritually as well as physically because of how much God has blessed us. Because He came into my life and Jesus stopped right in front of me and He called me by name and showed me His love. Many of you have had similar stories to that, haven't you? And maybe before then you listened to all the wrong voices, voices that told you how unworthy you were of God's love and how there's no way God could ever forgive a person like you. That's not the message of Christ. Because He stopped right under that tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down now because I'm coming home with you today. And I believe the message for us is exactly the same. That God is standing right in front of us. And He's saying, come now. Because I want to live in your life today. And it's time to listen to the voice of Christ, who's calling us to be with Him. Who's telling us that we are worth His time. We are worth His attention. He died for us, that He loves us more than we will ever know. It's time to listen to that voice. It's time to look vertical to find our identity, not looking out. So maybe today God's calling you to give your life to Christ through baptism. Maybe today God is calling you to love another Zacchaeus. Instead of looking down on others, it's time to lift others up. Not looking at people for what they've done, but who they were created to be. It's time to look and to see children of God, not people with mistakes. Because that's every one of us. And God looked at us, and He didn't see sinner, see a child who was lost, who needed to come home. And so maybe today God's calling you to change the way you look at people so that you can lift them up, so that they can see Jesus. That you look at them as a child who's wandered from God, who needs to come home. And so today, if we can help you in any way, if you need the prayers of this church, or if you desire to be baptized into Christ, then won't you come forward to the front as we stand and sing this song.